welcome to episode 12 of this.
We've just said it's 11.
No, I was. Oh, is it 11?
Well, yeah. What?
I thought the last one we did was 11. I thought we did 10 and 11.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 1 of the Ghost Museum.
Easier.
Formerly known as the Slab of Chelsea Gym. It's still a Chelsea Gym, though. Don't get worried about that. We've merely changed the name and the premise.
I did a little poll asking if we could change our theme music.
Oh, you love a little poll.
From do-do-do-do-do to something that's a lot better.
Okay.
And everyone voted for do-do-do-do. And it's upset me.
I hate how already that little shit bit of music is part of our brand that we chose in about 5 minutes.
Let's flippantly throw that away get the new one in.
That's going. It's always reminded me of fun fairs anyway.
There's
no fun in this podcast. So it's not giving the right message.
Fair.
It's absolutely not fair. But thank you for all of your applications to become part of the Ghost Museum team. We'll be reviewing those in due course, but thank you.
Oh, Jim, I did make an executive decision recently.
Okay.
I have officially appointed Kate as our Ghost Museum gift shop retail worker.
Wow, she's got the job.
She got the job. She did a great trial week.
Okay.
I asked her, what was selling best, what was selling worst, what were her, favourite experiences so far. And she answered all questions poorly, which is exactly what I feel a Ghost Museum employee would do.
Has she passed a CIV check? That is very important. I've always had my questions about Kate. You know, it seems like she's done something in the past.
Well, I mean, she's got some small blips, shall we say, but because she has the name Kate and we can just reuse those other name tags.
Great. Also, we're rehabilitators. It's care in the community. So we will come one, come all.
Yeah.
Where everybody else says, no, you can't work in this establishment. We say, yes, come in, join our family.
Yeah, we're the Make-A-Wish of podcasts.
That's our new tagline, actually.
Yeah,
go with that.
With a new theme tune.
Put that on a T-shirt.
Make-A-Wish of podcasts. You can't. Everyone always takes a piss out of Make-A-Wish, and you shouldn't, because it's the best wish.
Yeah.
No one else is making wishes.
That's true.
Apart from genies.
I don't know where you're going with that.
I just feel like people always use it as a butt of a joke. This is my Make-A-Wish.
Yeah.
They're doing a great job.
Yeah, that's true.
If a little kid wants to meet David Beckham, let him.
Do. Yeah.
I think what is the issue is we need to educate kids into making better wishes.
Better wishes, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Don't just go to Disneyland for a day. You could do that anyway.
Yeah. Say, I want to go there, but I want the park to be empty.
Yeah.
And I want to go to the bit where Walt Disney's corpse is frozen, and I want to see it. I want to see that chest freezer. I want to open it up. I want to get in it with him.
I thought it was just his head.
Is it?
I don't know. I think it's nothing, but if we split the difference and go with just head.
Just a head.
Then we're not all right.
Yeah, that's very true.
I want to time travel.
Yeah.
Hello, Elon.
The harder wish. It'd sort you out.
He would. He's my submarine.
If you couldn't do exactly. If you couldn't do time machine, he'd just put you in a little submarine.
Yeah, it's the same.
Yeah.
Yippee, you know. I like how Elon Musk went from the famous, the loveliest man in the world to immediate outcast just from
one week
of bad PR.
Yeah, he seemed like he was having a really stressful time.
Yeah.
Probably get somebody to check over your tweets before. Just don't call somebody a pedo. I don't know how he thought that was going to go right for him.
I think if you are a billionaire, you can say what you want.
Yeah.
That's one of the rules. That's one of the, very few upticks. Mm. Very few pros of being a billionaire. But that tweet what you want.
Apparently he's had a hair transplant.
Apparently he's had a haircut.
Yeah.
Wow, he's living the life.
Yeah.
I think, if you've got too much money, then you're sad because the world doesn't give you enough in return for your money.
Mm.
There's only so many things you can buy. And it's I've got all this money, but it's useless.
Yeah.
That's got to be so frustrating.
Well, I mean, you could always give it away.
What, a bit of Bill?
Yeah, do a little Bill Gates, hand it out, start up a foundation. He's probably already done that, hasn't he? I know what you mean, though. Build your own theme park.
That's going to take ages.
Do a Michael Jackson.
Why do you want your own theme park?
Talking of...
He was a pedo.
Yeah.
He wasn't a pedo. He was castrated.
Well,
that came out recently, didn't it? That
he was castrated.
He was chemically castrated.
That's weirder than being a pedo, in a way. No.
What?
Well...
What do you mean by weird? Less frequent?
Why has he done it?
He didn't do it. His dad did it.
What?
For his little voice.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
Dad died, Michael died, then the doctor was like, he was chemically castrated.
What the fuck?
Mm. So now at least it brought an end to the rumours.
Well, yeah. Why didn't you just say that?
You don't say that, do you? He's got, he didn't say a lot of things. He didn't say, I'm not the father to my kids. He didn't say. Did he ever admit he had like infertigo or whatever, vitamin delight?
Yeah, no, I don't think he did.
Well, I don't know.
Sunny Delight.
Yeah, Sunny Delight.
I don't know if he did. He said that. Oh, he did say it doesn't matter if you're black or white. That's one thing
true.
He did
and
say.
He looked at the man in the mirror.
He had a good look at him.
And didn't notice that he was neither black nor white.
Yeah.
Did he have a nose job? That wasn't his one, was it?
Michael Jackson have a nose job?
I didn't know if that was part of his Sunny Delight disease.
Yeah, he had the millions of nose jobs.
Did he say that he did?
I don't think he admitted it.
If you're going to have that many, do it good.
He was, yeah, you're right, Chels.
What?
It's in The Independent.
Yeah, they've never lied.
Chemically castrated by late Father Joe, claims doctor jailed over singer's death. Not a trustworthy doctor.
He was only jailed because of killing him. That'll do it.
Should we start from scratch?
No, we haven't got time.
We actually haven't.
That's the first part of... We can always put that in the front of my podcast if mine's not long enough.
Well, that can be the extra little Patreon chatty one. Bit of that.
You're welcome. No, they're getting the emails on Skype one day.
That's okay, that's warm up. We can use that. Let's just not have it at the top of the podcast because it will.
What, alienate viewers? Off. Never.
Episode one of the Ghost Museum. Let's get into it. The setting of this story is a place. I'm just going to warn you now, Chels. So yeah. Chilling, so terrifying that even the thought of it sends chills down my spine. It's more horrible than a black stinking crypt or an abandoned asylum fetid with blood and horror. This story takes place in a sports centre, a place that exists unashamedly and solely for the purposes of doing sport and having sport done to you.
I refute that. Some of my best memories from childhood going roller skating, discos.
Not a sport.
At the sports centre. I'm rolling around. I'm going really fast on my quads. Cher, Do You Believe in Life After Love is playing really loudly. I feel like I'm flying. So no, I don't know. I refute the fact that sports centres are...
Roller discos were great.
Oh, yeah.
What's happened to roller discos?
They're still around.
In the Midlands? Do you have to travel to the Midlands for a roller disco?
I think it's more of like a hipster thing now. Like, oh, we're in Portland.
No, no,
we're going
like
to
that.
The roller disco.
No. I remember once for Christmas, I got my own set of roller skates and I had little fluorescent arm pads and knee pads and a little helmet. And I thought I was so cool in my... The four-wheel... What are they called? Quads?
I call them quads.
Is that the official name for them?
No, there's four wheels. Why wouldn't it be? There's not four wheels on rollerblades.
That is true.
It's not true.
More than four.
Well, no, there are
four. Oh, is
it
four?
Yeah,
well.
That's four. That's why I said that.
Good joke. Good roller skate-based joke.
Cool thing about...
The issue with that joke is you needed a fairly good knowledge of roller skates to get
know.
It.
I don't know if I have it, but I said it.
Well, I was like, I didn't skate on them properly. I used to walk around on them like shoes, just clatter around. Have you ever seen someone do that?
Yeah.
I wasn't very graceful.
Did you have the Fisher-Price ones that elongated in the middle?
No, but I wanted them.
I had those.
They just went onto your existing shoes.
Yeah, put your shoes in them, clamp them on, and then they get bigger with the child foot.
Yeah.
Not great for sports.
No, but it's more of a leisure activity, isn't it?
You can definitely walk awkwardly on them.
It's sports leisure.
But the cool quads are the ones that had the tongues pinned down with the little clips and then the big... Like out exterior sock things. I had those because I was cool.
Child of the 80s. This is. I don't think this sports centre has a roller disco. It's like where football teams go and train and athletes go and train. But it's an old building. So I'm not going to talk about it in its capacity as a sports centre. Thank God. We're going to go back to when it was... What was it? Oh, there. It was a manor house, but it's called Bisham Abbey. And according to the website, it was once home to Henry VIII and Elizabeth I, and currently offers the uniqueness of time and history as well as modern facilities for a variety of sports visitors. It all began on the banks of the Thames in Bisham in 1538.
Wait, Bisham's in London?
No.
Does the Thames go out of London?
Yeah.
Does it even go to the sea?
Yeah.
Is that where it gets the water from?
Yeah.
Or does it give the water to the sea?
It gives the water to the sea.
Yeah,
that's how rivers work, isn't it?
Where's the mountains it's coming from?
Don't know. It doesn't have to come from a mountain.
Does it go all the way through the middle of England?
It goes from... It definitely goes through Oxford.
Does it divide us into two?
What do you mean?
Could we float apart?
It doesn't cut across like a belt. It's not like a wet belt.
No, but it's a wriggly belt.
It doesn't go all the way across.
No. Where's the mountains, though? I've never seen a mountain.
It doesn't have to start in a mountain.
Where's the water coming from?
Just can be, like, come from a spring.
A little spring there? Yeah. And that's feeding the whole River Thames into the sea?
Yeah.
A little spring.
Because as it goes, it gets bigger because it picks up water from other little streams and other little springs and
like raindrops
rain.
In a window.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right. I'll do more research into that later.
I don't know where it starts, though. I couldn't tell you.
No.
But the Thames, Bisham is on the Thames, not in London, near London. I think it's in, like, Berkshire or something.
Left or right?
left. If you're looking at London from...
Above. If you often do.
It would be left.
Left. It's sort of a slough.
West, if you like.
No, I don't. I want left.
Okay, it's left.
West is the left of cardinal directions.
So it all began... On the banks of the Thames in Bisham in 1538, the black monks of the abbey were forcibly removed from their home by Henry VIII, quite literally kicking and screaming. As the abbot was torn away from the high altar and bundled into a waiting cart, he allegedly turned to his sacred home and cursed it, saying, "As God is my witness, this property shall never be inherited by two direct successors, for its sons will be hounded by misfortune." I imagine he was shaking his arm like that as he said it.
You'd have to really drive those words home.
Yeah.
Black nuns, monks, black monks.
Yeah.
Or how do they differ from, like, a yellow monk?
I don't know. I've not heard of a black monk before.
No.
That's just what it said on the website. Okay. They're black monks.
Okay, good. Just
because normally monks wear, like, monks' robes normally are brown. So potentially to do with the colour of the robe. I guess.
Yeah, but you don't say brown monk.
I don't.
Say monk.
Say monk that often.
I've noticed.
Only with you, really. I talk about monks mostly with you.
Yeah.
And mostly on this podcast.
Like, well, before we started the Slab/the Ghost Museum, I never anticipated that the three most common things we spoke about would be monks and nuns, animal gender, and Beauty and the Beast.
But why did you mention it? We're trying to go on without a mention of Beauty and the Beast.
Because it's unusual. Who would have thought it?
Yeah. It's almost like we don't have many interests.
I think we do. Well, I don't think animal genitalia is one of our interests. It's just one of
it
our unknowns.
It's one of our passions.
We're ignorant in animal genitalia.
And we're ignorant about monks. What's a friar?
Smaller, fatter monk.
That's what you imagine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're imagining exactly the same thing as me. Portly monk. He's got the monk haircut. He's got the brown robes on, tied around his waist with a rope.
Yeah.
Possibly a crucifix around his neck.
Is he
a wooden
monk
crucifix.
Chef?
The monk chef.
Yeah.
Why? Because he's a friar.
Yeah.
Fries stuff.
And he's portly.
Could be.
He probably is.
Could be.
Monk chef. Just call him that.
Yeah. Not as good as Little Chef, but there's a fly in the studio and it's driving me mad. Anyway, he's cursed it. Classic monk curse. And misfortune did indeed strike the tenants of the abbey.
What year was this, sorry?
1538.
Oh, yeah. A great
good year.
Good year
for curses.
Good vintage.
I'd say the golden years of curses, actually.
Yeah.
However, unlike many of the stately homes and castles of Britain. What's it called again?
Bisham.
is haunted by just one ghost. Lady Hobie.
She sounds nice.
Oh, she's a bitch.
Oh.
And the anguish and torment that characterises her haunting is related to the death of her son, poor little William Hobie. So William was the youngest son of Sir Thomas and Lady Elizabeth Hobie. And like his brothers and sisters before him, he was brought up in the abbey under the watchful eye of his mother, who, by all accounts, seems like a total bitch. And I don't want to anger a ghost, because I know she's out there haunting people, but all of the signs are pointing to her being a total fucking nightmare. Classic angry widow. Thomas died when the kids were young, so she's on her own, and she rules with an iron fist.
Heavy to drag that around. Sorry.
She was a personal friend of Queen Elizabeth I, She was very proud and ambitious. Some might say even cold and hard, being one of the most learned ladies of her age. She was keen for the kids to have the same education that she and her husband had had. She was a pushy parent, basically. If Sylvia Young's theatre school existed in the 16th century, the kids would have definitely been there, and she'd have made sure they were playing the lead. You know, no chorus parts. No fucking way. Not for this woman. I'm basically imagining her as just a modern-day middle-class mum, wants the best for her kids, not that nice to be around. That's the vibe I'm getting. Nope.
Oh, I didn't know. I didn't want to butt in.
You can butt in at that bit.
Butt in at that bit. I'm in a class, mum.
You don't have to.
No, just keep going. Just keep going on that one.
I'll crack on with that one.
Sorry.
She oversaw all of the kids' tuition herself, actually teaching them Greek and Latin personally. I think pointless. I think even in the 16th century, Greek and Latin is pointless.
A tradition that continues to today, though. I know it's helpful for etymology and maybe if you want to learn more languages, but I feel like learning Spanish is probably more helpful and adaptive to multiple current modern languages than Latin is. I learned Latin in school.
Did you?
Latin, French and German.
What?
Yeah.
In just a regular state school?
Well, the gifted children got to learn Latin too.
Please.
So obviously I was straight in there.
Give me some Latin then.
Caecilius est in horto.
What's that say?
Caecilius is in the garden.
Oh, is he?
He is. He's only ever there. That's like the most famous like Latin. It's like the first thing you learn, I think.
What's garden then in Latin?
Horto.
Horto, like horticulturalist.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe it is useful.
Yeah. I like that because I like the etymology of words.
Me too. I'll always do a quick Google of where that came from.
Yeah. But that's all you need now. You don't need to know Latin. You just need to know how to use Google.
Yeah.
You're never going to have a conversation with somebody in Latin. Is it even possible to have a conversation in Latin?
Yeah, they talked all the time.
Did they?
Yeah, but
like
then,
a full conversation.
What do you think they were doing?
Oh, no, I mean like in modern day. Like, do we have enough Latin to have a proper conversation or is it just the odd word that we know?
We could have a chat.
Like a full chat.
Well, it depends. We couldn't talk about, like, the internet, because they probably didn't have a word for that.
Nah.
But we could talk about
But Porto. Network probably comes from Latin somewhere along the line. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, everything does. Does it?
No.
What was, like, the...
Either Latin or German.
What was, like, the Asian Latin?
Arabic.
Yeah. That's how they like to be known. We're the Asian Latin.
That's like the most ancient language, isn't it? That's older than Latin,
is
I
it?
Think. I don't know.
It's old, not young, for sure.
It's an old alphabet.
Yeah,
you know
barely
that?
An
I'll
alphabet.
Say that about it.
Well, hieroglyphics are a really old alphabet.
Yeah, really old.
Would it be called an alphabet?
And they found out what the hieroglyphics mean from the Rosetta Stone and by knowing Latin.
Oh.
So the Rosetta Stone had all of these ancient languages on it. It was the same piece of text written in different languages. So that's how they worked out what hieroglyphics mean.
Who put that together?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's my question. I feel like that's the most interesting bit.
Mr. and Mrs. Rosetta.
Did they all get together? Did you just send one, like, Bill, go and pop over to old Asian Latin lads and write down the same thing? Is this like the lazy fox jumps over the...
You can't write it down. You've got to scribe it into a big, massive bit of stone.
We've seen that.
Have we?
Yeah. It's at the British Museum.
Is it?
Yeah.
A copy of it?
No.
That's not the real one.
Isn't it?
No.
Why have they put it behind stuff? What do you mean it's not the real one? Why would you make that again?
The real one's in... I want to say somewhere else. I'm sure it's not the real one.
Why would anyone want to see a fake one?
Because it looks exactly the same.
That's irrelevant.
You don't see that many fake Rosetta Stones knocking about.
I've seen
maybe it is the
before.
Real one, but I mean, big ones with writing on.
It's broken. It's not all there.
No.
If you're going to recreate it, at least
that's why they
the
had
whole
some
thing.
Trouble.
So is hieroglyphics an alphabet?
Yeah.
Is it?
No.
Is Chinese?
No. No. Chinese alphabet, yeah.
Yeah, but they've got more phrases than letters.
Oh, yeah. Have they?
Yeah. Like the Cantonese guys.
This has been the most staccato conversation two adult human beings have ever had.
But I find, this is another thing I've learned about us, other than the previous stuff, is that We would rather talk about something that we know nothing about than anything that we have a lot of knowledge. Knowledge is boring.
Well, it's quite fun trying to figure it out.
But, like, knowing...
And between us, we get there, or we at least reach a conclusion that satisfies
us.
And we're
so it might not confident be the right in those.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire about us.
Yeah.
Is how confident we are in ignorance. But it's so much more fun to talk about something you know nothing about than it is, like, we know a lot of stuff about a lot of things.
Not
We've
sure.
never touched on them. And no. wouldn't. So
wouldn't
don't ask
to.
Us to.
Yeah. Stick to subjects we know nothing about. Which we'll talk about ignorantly, but knowingly.
Yeah.
So that's
Smugly,
what distinguishes That's what
say.
Distinguishes us from you.
Yeah. We're...
That's what makes us better, if you will.
They can see your quotes. And that's what I like about that.
She's a middle-class mum. She's teaching them Greek and Latin. She expected perfection from her pupils, her kids, and she wielded a heavy ruler to make sure that she got it. Now, that is literally speaking. So she used to walk around with a big ruler and whack them on the head. And nobody wants to feel the wrath of a heavy ruler.
No.
Am I
like
right?
Like Genghis Khan?
Yeah.
He was a big ruler.
Yeah. I used to have a really cool Fat Willy's t-shirt.
I did.
Was and it was, like, written in, like kind of scrawly handwriting, but it was fluorescent
Did
rainbow.
Did it look like a surf shirt?
Yeah.
I had a really cool t-shirt and I've been trying to think of the brand it forever. It might be that. Did he look... And the reason that I can't find it is because I'm sure the logo of him looked a bit like the guy from Pog.
Yeah.
It was like a furry little rodent thing.
Oh,
but no. What do you think the guy from Pog looks like?
I don't know.
Okay.
Just said yeah.
All right. Hopefully one of our listeners... Guys, if you know what a sort of early 90s surf brand with a sort of Pog-like character...
Because the character
like,
I'm imagining
no
for
fear?
Fat Willy was like... It's a hand-drawn cartoon of like a cool surfer dude with spiky hair, but it's a very minimalist drawing. It's like
Maybe
a one-line drawing.
I don't know. I think we're conflating a lot of different early 90s pop culture.
There's a lot of ideas
culture.
Going on.
Yeah, too
None
many.
Of them, right? None of them progress
None
in the
them
story.
None of them related to Bishop Manor.
No. So William, the youngest son, he wasn't as bright as his siblings.
Oh.
Something I've never experienced. Being by far the most intelligent
Being
of my siblings.
An only child.
And an only child. No, I've got a step and a half sisters and brothers, but I'm cleverer than that.
Yeah, one of my kids.
Loads of them have that. Ridiculous. So William was constantly stumbling over his lessons and blotting his copybooks. And Lady Hobie was pissed off. She's right pissed off with this. In her eyes, he was nothing but a lazy good-for-nothing. Now, a summer house had been constructed for the children on the edge of the lawn. I just realised this story's so boring so far. Really sorry, guys.
I mean, honestly, we haven't really got much of the story so far. I've just got a widower with some kids in a house. That's what we've established.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, luckily our banter has been A-class around
yeah.
it. So
Fat
that'll
Willy.
Be covered. Chinese alphabet, Fat Willy, fuck. And in such a fast-paced, pithy way. A summer house had been... Go on.
We need more alcohol before we start.
Yeah. So you've just had one gin and tonic, so you're probably
one.
Just like on a slight... Do you feel up or do you feel down?
I'm hot.
Yeah, that'll happen. And I've had no food, so my stomach's
Ooh,
rumbling.
I thought you were looking thin today.
So it's... Oh, yeah, I'm not eating at the moment. A summer house had been constructed for the children on the edge... on the edge of the lawn down by the river, where many of their classes were... were taken on sunny days. Some of the villagers on the towpath opposite could see and observing Lady
Hobie. This is going all around John Kipling.
Sternly watching over the children, probably thinking, I hate those cunts in that summer house. One villager is said to have heard violent shouts coming from the bower. What's a bower?
Nothing. What's the bower with you?
We just go home.
Yeah. I feel like a bower is like a bay window. Like a
okay.
big bay window, perhaps.
Or
a bay room.
Or a bay route.
Bay watch?
Bay.
Do you know what a bower
leaf.
Is?
No.
Oh, I thought that like, you'd researched and thought.
Oh, no. It just said it on the
but
website.
You,
I'm copying.
Okay, yes, because you have written this down and thus there wasn't time.
I copied and pasted it and made some minor changes.
Okay.
I think the bower, in my head, it is a window.
Yeah.
But it's the window at the top of a. The apex of a roof.
Mm-hmm.
That's what like, I think a bower is.
The little attic window.
Yeah. He saw from the bower, he heard the screams from the bower. He started to investigate and saw her ladyship beating little William about the head with her ruler until he collapsed and fell to the ground. Blood streamed from his eyes, nose and mouth. staining the grass dark crimson. And he's said to have had some sort of brain damage from all of the beatings with the ruler. Sorry for... He needs to get Childline involved. The cold winter drove the lessons back inside to the tower room of the manor house. William fell behind with his work as usual, so while his siblings went off to play, he was left alone struggling to finish under the watchful eye of bitch Mum and her fucking ruler. Then, splat, his quill exploded and he covered himself in ink.
What do you mean, then, splat, his quill exploded? Quills aren't filled with ink. You they dip them.
Yeah, and it splattered everywhere. You can still splat a quill, Chels.
Yeah, but if you, you like, don't know how much ink he's got. Nib, it doesn't explode.
How many quills have you used in your time?
Do you really think I haven't used a quill?
But like a proper feathered
yeah,
quill?
Yeah, of course, Jim. You saw my special art box.
I have seen your special, and there are several quills in there, to be fair, I did know this. Well, William was nervous. He's got like his crazy mum staring over him, and sometimes when you get nervous, you splat everywhere. It happens.
He inked. He did ink. Inked. He's like Little Nemo, the little octopus from Nemo.
Yeah.
What's he called?
I don't know.
Everyone knows he inks, but no one knows his name. Like the Unabomber. Who knows his name?
No.
But they know he bombed.
Mm. And that's all he wanted.
I always think he's got one eyebrow. Is that how you imagine him?
I am now.
Just with one
long
eyebrow.
I never imagined what he looked like before.
He had an IQ of 167.
How do they know that?
Because he was from the old experiments, wasn't he? Wasn't he part of MKUltra?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, there's a whole episode on that not coming from this podcast because we do UK stuff.
We could do an international episode if you want.
Yeah, because he was like part of this like scheme where they were like doing terrible things to people to test them. Then he was just like released into the wild after some psychological experiments.
No.
And then he became the Unabomber.
What the fuck?
Mm.
Anyway, he splatted all over himself. Absolutely good. And she's pissed off. She's so annoyed about this. She gave him a massive whack once again with the ruler. William wailed in pain as he fell to the floor. Again and again, his mother beat him till the blood ran once again. Eventually, she halted and tied him to a chair, forcing him to repeat his work, expecting perfect completion upon her return. After she left, she was summoned to court by Queen Elizabeth, coincidence, which I bet she absolutely loved. Oh, could the Queen summon me? My best mate, the Queen. Oh, I'm going to have to see the Queen now. You stay here.
As a witness or as a... to be told off?
Just to have fun.
Have a nice time
just
there.
Just have fun.
Have a great time.
So
which
what happens when you're
it?
Friends with the Queen?
Which court was it?
Courtney Queen Cox. Court. Yeah.
The Queen Court.
And she had a great time there,
You do radio.
There's banquets, there's balls, there's them big chicken legs, mead, probably. And she doesn't return for a few days. She's just having too much fun.
What? Whilst William's tied to this bloody
chair?
She's
forgotten about him. That's the whole point.
This seems far-fetched.
She gets back after a few days and she's like, oh, where's William? And everyone's like, we thought he was with you at the banquet. And she's like, no, he's up in the tower room. So she runs up there and obviously, predictably, he dead.
This seems not correct. So she was in the middle of a lesson, having tied her son to a chair, and then just popped off for a week at a court to have a snack.
Yeah.
Comes home, and her son's still just like, he couldn't have shouted.
Nah, couldn't have shouted. He's probably too scared to shout. And she assumed that someone would go and get him. I mean, the other kids are being taught in that room.
Who's
so you
looking
think
after the kids?
I don't know.
How many people are in this manor?
Probably like a maid.
Yeah.
Probably a wet nurse.
Mm-hmm.
They were, or a handmaid.
Yeah.
Probably one of them to look after.
Little tail. Well, the handmaid's tail was just about, like, she still had too much tail situation. She was like, oh, I've got to hide my tail. I don't want people to find out about my extra appendage. I'm a circus freak.
Like a squirrel.
Yeah.
I've not read it till the end, so maybe that is how it
finishes.
Could
be. Don't
spoil
it. I've never read it at all. It could be about that.
Yeah.
It could be like Jumanji, you know, when he gets his little tail and Robin Williams has to break a hole in the arse of his jeans so his tail can get out.
We've all got tails, though, Charles. That's what your coccyx is.
It's not a real tail. It's
where
a vestigial.
Your tail would have been.
Yeah, I know where my tail would have been, with or without a coccyx.
And some people do have a little bit.
Fine. they shouldn't be treated any differently than anybody no. else.
If you were born with one, would you have it removed or would you keep it?
Does it wiggle?
Of I'm going to say
own
yeah.
accord. Like, can I wiggle it?
Yeah, I'm going to say you can wiggle it of your own volition, yes.
I think that could be cute. But yeah. only on somebody that's also cute. Mm. You know how, like, if a hot guy smells of BO, you're like, oh, it's sexy BO. Mm.
If a hot guy's got a tail.
Oh, it's a sexy tail.
Yeah. Waggling it around.
My new favourite hot guy is Jeffree Star's boyfriend, and I've known about him for a long time, but I've really decided that he's probably the best hot guy.
I don't know what he looks like.
Oh, he's nice. If he had a tail, I'd be fine with that. Everyone says that he's gay for pay.
Really?
Because he's very
straight.
Is he
called Nathan Age?
I think that age is probably people trying to find out how old he is in Google.
Oh, yeah.
Is he called Nathan Gay? Question
is he called Nathan how tall? I don't get it.
What?
I don't get it.
His boyfriend makes $150 million a year and you think he's not hot?
No, I don't.
What?
I think he's very average looking.
How dare you?
He's so average looking.
Are you looking at photos or videos?
Yeah, photos.
Videos are better? You can't tell from a photo what someone looks like.
Picture speaks 1,000 words.
Video speaks the face of him.
I mean, should I watch a video now or should we crack on with... So he's dead. Lady Bisham, Lady Hobby, whatever her name is, spent the rest of her life in sorrowful misery, I've written here. And shortly after her death in 1609, sure enough, her ghost was seen wandering through the house and has been seen many times since. A miraculous fountain floats before her and, not unlike the evil Lady Macbeth, she tries constantly to wash the accusing bloodstains from her hands. She's especially known for her appearances in the Tower Room at the time of the coronation, when she shows her guilt at choosing her monarch over her son. So that's the story, Chels. Just a good old hand-washing ghost who knocks about. There's a portrait of her hanging up in the manor.
And William's not horning that.
Nah. Probably too terrified. Didn't want to bump into ghost mum. She'd still be like, oh, have you done your homework?
What happened to the chair?
Don't know what happened to the chair.
Hmm.
But I'll tell you this, Chels.
Yeah?
There are actually no recorded children of Lord and Lady Hobie called William. However, years later, when the manor was let to somebody called Mrs. East, she discovered a number of papers, books and other rubbish when she decided to take up some floorboards to rebuild. And among the papers were exercise books belonging to the Hobies, included one covered in ink blots with the name William on it.
Wait, where did the William story come from? Is it just this one found exercise book?
Possibly.
Like,
it doesn't say where it came from.
Who came up with the idea of it then?
It's just been passed down through the ages. And look, you see the ghost and you know that's insane.
But she had a son called William.
Mm.
Maybe he was called Billy.
Yeah, for sure.
Did they check that? Did they check if they had a son called Billy?
I've not checked the records personally. No. I've not seen any record of a Billy either.
I don't know. I don't know about this whole story. If it's all based on one... You found an exercise book under the floor when someone called themselves William on it and you've gone, oh, well, he was beaten by a ruler. Where's the ruler coming from? Who's telling you about the ruler?
Well, maybe it got passed down. Maybe the other kids told the story to their kids and it became a bit of a legend, just a... oral history that was passed down.
Wow.
Because, you know, what proof is there of anything that happened in the 1500s?
Remnants?
Yeah, things written down as well.
Yeah, but they didn't write down the
records.
Story.
No, not this one.
No, which is why it's difficult.
But there's
to
no
really...
Daily Mail back then. So no, there's no need to turn it into a tabloid scandal.
But they had hands.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and thus could have written it down. William couldn't, probably.
No,
but
shit,
one of his better siblings could. I feel like there probably is an answer to this, but somebody hasn't researched that part. Well, I don't know who that somebody is.
How dare you?
I don't know who that somebody is.
How very dare you, Chels? I copied and pasted this perfectly in the 10 minutes I had before we started recording.
Should we give a shout out to the blog that
to my ex at...
That you copied and pasted it from?
This is copied and pasted from a website called berkshirehistory.com. If you want to read it, basically what I've done for the last hour, go to berkshirehistory.com/legends/bisham01.html. Here are some things from another website. A retired admiral who owned the abbey in the early years of the 20th century describes an incident after an evening's chess with his brother, "We'd finished playing," said the Admiral, "and my brother had gone to bed. I stayed some time with my back to the wall, turning over the day in my mind. Minutes passed. I suddenly realised the presence of someone standing behind me. I turned round, and it was Dame Hobby. Before fleeing the room, he noticed that the frame on the wall holding her portrait was blank."
So now the painting came alive.
Yeah, so maybe she's trapped in the painting.
Why? I don't... The ghost's not made of paint. They're not related.
The ghost might be made of paint. It's not it made might of be paint. Like that video game that we played, Charles, Layers of Fear.
I don't know if that's, what where the they got moral the idea. Of that was.
It was. It was the ghost is made of paint. That's exactly the moral.
I thought the ghost just spilled paint.
Yeah, because he was made of it.
No one's ever looked at a painting and that painting has not been that painting anymore.
My favourite bit about that was watching your face as you realised you started talking really weird. You just had to carry on.
And also, they say that ghosts only turn up in times of need or if you're very receptive. Like, if the things that won't scare you...
Do they say that?
Yeah, they say that, like, if they think someone's going to be scared or, like, they're not okay with it, blah, 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 then you won't see one.
That's not what I heard. I heard that ghosts absolutely love scaring the shit out of people. That's what they're known for.
Yeah, but it's very sort of like, if you don't believe, then you won't see, right? But I...
Like Father Christmas.
A lot like... Well, you're not allowed to see him, even if you believe. No. Don't ever look at him.
No.
But if you see a ghost... In the ghost lore, they'll only show themselves to you if you're receptive to it. But I don't think that I could be... As I know I don't believe, and they probably know I don't believe. But I'm very receptive. Like, a ghost could pop in here right now. We'd love that.
Oh, we wouldn't say
it
go
wouldn't
away.
It wouldn't be scary.
No.
I couldn't imagine something less scary than a ghost popping up right now.
And we could help it.
Why would we do that? Because what we've we get got, out of that?
We've got...
Oh, loads of listeners on the we've podcast.
We've got so many listeners on our podcast.
Ghost?
We're in an old Georgian-looking building currently.
If you want to just pop in now, we're not scared.
And we're in a basement.
Very calm.
Don't be frightened by all the cameras and stuff around. That's like, you know, in the olden days, you'd have a painting done. Now we don't bother with that. You just have a camera.
Right. Well, Jim and I are going to be quiet for 5 seconds. If you were here, please leave us a message. And then people that listen to the podcast can listen to that 5 seconds and see if they can hear anything. 3, 2, 1.
Footsteps.
Hi, guys. Editing Chels here. Just a little FYI. I have put a noise gate on this old recording, and thus, if there was any ghost conversation caught on tape, it may have been mildly compromised during the editing process. And by compromised, I do mean deleted. But what's great about that is that we can never say it didn't happen. So, still TBD on ghosts. Back to the podcast. I'd love it if we caught another ghost. We already caught one before, scream.
I heard footsteps then, Chels.
And slight chatter in this otherwise empty building.
Okay, that's the end of the podcast. there's more things I've copied and pasted, but I think you've heard enough of me reading copied and pasted paragraphs.
Well, I feel like we've learned a lot today. One of our strongest episodes and a great first start to the Ghost Museum. So I'm going to ask you, Jim, what from this story do you want to take out and place in the Ghost Museum as a relic and memory?
Thank you for asking, Chels. It's my favourite bit of the new format. I take from this story the oil painting of the Lady of Bishop Manor, Lady Hobby. I take that oil painting and I hang it in the Ghost Museum.
Behind bulletproof bars.
It's behind curtains.
Yeah.
But the curtains are always open.
That's nice.
But that's just, if she ever wants to close it, she can do that as a way of showing herself.
Privacy.
Yeah.
All right.
Because what I'm taking from the story is she basically lives in the painting. We've now got the painting in the Ghost Museum. Mm-hmm. Come and have a look. Don't get too close. Don't touch it.
No.
There is a velvet rope in front of it. We ask you to respect that. There's no alarms. We're not those kind of guys. Just respect the rope.
Also, Mind Overdrive might be there, and he'll be keeping an eye on you.
Oh, should I choose something more creepy? Shall I actually choose the bloodied ruler?
Is it bloodied?
Yeah, because she used to whack him on the head with it.
You can have two items, perhaps.
Okay, and we'll also have the bloodied... No, no. We'll have the ink-blotted exercise book from William.
So no blood today?
No blood today.
All right.
There we go. Those are the two items in the Ghost Museum. Thanks for coming.
Please collect your baggage on the way out. Hope you had a lovely day. Leave a positive review on TripAdvisor.
JimandChelsea@gmail.com is our email address.
At Chelsea and Jim is our Twitter. Anyway, thanks, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I don't know if we have a bit at the end. Did we do a bit at the end? We don't have a bit at the end. All right. Bye.